Let us pause for a prayer. O God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for those who witnessed the resurrection, for those who recorded the word so that we can walk in newness of life. And so minister to us in what is said and spoken. May all that we say and do be glorifying to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Easter is a good time to decide. It's a good time to be definitive and creative and decisive. Throughout this past week, we were floating, we were wandering in uncertainty. We were living in the shadows of Thursday and Friday and Saturday. We were living in fear and doubt and darkness. There was chaos, there was confusion, there was betrayal and denial, and the disciples were dispersing and scattering. There was the unknown. But in the midst of the darkness, right before dawn, after the third day, God is decisive. As a seed germinates under the ground in the darkness, as the infant is sheltered from the light in the womb and is beginning to take form and shape, as the body of Christ Jesus is wrapped and trapped in the tomb in the pitch black, God is decisive. God is determinative, and that new life will begin out of darkness and continue into the dawn and through the daylight. God decides there is victory, there is triumph, and there will be joy and gladness, a new day, a new hope, a new kingdom. The resurrection story is about us agreeing and acknowledging and aligning ourselves with God's decision and making our own individual decisions. The women in Luke chapter 24 are clearly decisive. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. They are there at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. They are there at the end of his earthly life. At his crucifixion and death and burial, they are not far off. In the scene of the crucifixion in the book of Matthew, he says many women are there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from the time of Galilee while ministering to him, among them Mary Magdalene, the mother, Mary the mother of James, and he adds, the mother of the sons of Zebedee. But in Luke chapter 24, these women had made the decision that they would be there to the very end. They decided to bring spices to anoint and preserve his body, even though they knew when they got there, there was this huge stone that was placed against the cave. Even though they knew that there would be a guard placed there to protect the body so that they may not even be able to pass. But they made up their minds that they're going anyway. And somehow they were going to honor him and apply the spices. So they arrive on the scene and they find that the stone is removed and that the body isn't there. Instead, what they saw was two men in dazzling clothes, whom we presume to be angels. And the men say to them, the living one that you are looking for is not among the dead. He is risen. In joy and jubilation, they return to the 11 and they tell them everything. This is what happened. And then after that, they tell the others, as verse 9 says. The women are decisive from the start. Throughout their time with Jesus, during the death, burial, and resurrection, there's no hesitation. There's no reluctance, no second guessing. These women are the model of decisiveness. But on the other hand, there are the disciples, and they are the opposite. We know their tendencies, we know their inconsistencies. And as the women tell them the good news, the fresh news, they are confused. They are unaccepted. they would not believe. Even though they were there with Jesus to witness his miracles, even though they were there with Jesus to witness his powerful acts of healing, his raising of the dead, the calming of the storm, exorcisms, everything, even though Jesus told them what God would do on the third day, they still would not believe. They couldn't comprehend and they could not decide. Finally, Peter gets up and says, well, I need to find out for myself. At least he decides. The Gospel of John says another disciple went with him, but the rest of them, they don't get up. They don't go to the tomb. They don't seem to do anything. Now, if it were us, wouldn't we drop everything and go over there? Wouldn't we try to find out if this is true or not? Wouldn't we be curious and excited and say, well, maybe it is true. Maybe what he said and predicted came to be. But they don't. They don't act. They don't decide. They don't respond. So Peter goes. He's on the move. When he gets there, he sees the empty tomb and only the linen wrappings. And what is his reaction? Verse 12 says he marvels. He's amazed. What else? The heavy stone is moved. The body is not there. Only the linen wrappings remain. And what else does he do? If that was you, what would you do? Wouldn't you tell your friends? Wouldn't you sprint back and gather people together and start talking, or think, maybe he is risen, I need to find him, where is he? If that was us and it was today, we would get out our camera phones and take a picture and post it on Facebook. We would be tweeting and emailing and who knows what. But what does Peter do? Verse 12 says, and he went away to his home. The implication being, he didn't do anything. There's no decision other than, I think I'm going to go home now. Maybe it's thinking, well, I'm hungry. I'm going to have breakfast. I'm going home. I don't know what he was thinking. Today is a day to decide and to believe. Today is a day to be decisive. This past week, I was following the news quite closely, and I was following the Supreme Court, whose job it is to decide. They agreed to hear the case about whether they should overturn Prop 8 or the Defense of Marriage Act. So I was listening, and I was anticipating and reading about it. And there are 9 justices, and I'm saying, who are these justices? What do they believe? And as I was following the news, they are divided. They couldn't decide. And they decided, well, we're going to decide in June. These justices are the brightest minds that we have in our land, and they are known for their expertise in evaluating issues, but they are so slow to make a decision. Why the indecision? I guess there are too many issues and too many things to base their decision. Well, do we decide on equality or human rights or individual rights? Then some brought up the point, well, maybe we decide on finances. Do we give them tax privileges? Do we give them federal funds? Should they qualify for Social Security? What about pensions? For some, they said, well, let's base it on, is it an issue of the state or a federal issue? Some say, well, I think I'm going to vote based on my tradition or doctrine. One judge brought up the point, well, what about the children of these gay and lesbian folks? Don't they have a voice? The New York Times reported that the justices were having second thoughts, and they said, why did we agree to hear this case in the first place? And Judge Kennedy suggested, why don't we just dismiss it? So some are saying that they may decide not to decide. Today we receive the news of Jesus' resurrection, and it involves a decision. And what do we base our decisions on? What is our starting point? As an Easter people, as a resurrection people, we decide based on the resurrection. We decide based on God's triumph and God's victory. We decide based on courage and love and new living. We decide based on what is freeing and liberating and transforming. Today is the day to decide, okay, now I'm going to put away my regrets. Now is the time I'm going to decide I'm going to live differently. I'm going to choose joy and hope and peace and courage. Now is the time I need to change my attitude. Now is the time I'm going to accept that challenge that I've been putting off for so long. I was living in the darkness, in despair, in the depths of sorrow. It's time to emerge. Today is the acceptable time. Choose for you this day whom you shall serve, it says in Joshua. Now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation, as 2 Corinthians 6 says. I came across this story the other day of this person named Sadhu Sundar Singh. Have any of you heard of him? He was born in India into a Sikh family. As a child, his mother would take him to a holy man in the rainforest. And when Sadhu was 14, his mother died, and he became despairing. And he became aggressive, and he hated Christian missionaries, and he burned a Bible in public. Became suicidal and decided to throw himself under the train if something didn't happen. One day at 3 a.m, he went out into the moonlight, into the courtyard for that ceremonial bath before the worship that Hindus and Sikhs practiced. And then he returned to his room and he knelt down and he said, God, please reveal yourself to me. Nothing happened. He was hoping for maybe a voice or a vision or a sign or something, but nothing happened. And finally, he lifted his head and he saw this glimmering light in his room. It was dark and it was not yet dawn. And he opened the door and he looked out in the courtyard and it was still dark. He went back to his room and he saw the light. It was getting brighter and brighter, and all of a sudden, Jesus was there in the room appearing to him, to his amazement. It wasn't some other of his traditional familiar gods. Jesus was shining in peace and love and looking at him with compassion, and in the darkness, as it approached dawn, Jesus emerged. It's out of that experience that he wrote this hymn. You may know this hymn. It goes something like this. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though I may wander, still I will follow. Though I may wander, I still will follow. Though I may wander, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. It is a good day to decide. Let us believe, let us decide, let us act. Amen.